Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will instruct us, that it will challenge us, that it helps us know you better, that it reveals and opens up the gates of heaven, even for us to enter in through faith in Christ's sacrifice for us. So we pray, Father, today that you would guide us in understanding. In thy name we ask it. Amen. It's not that I don't listen to her. So how wisely do you teach? How wisely do you teach? Many of us teach in some way or another. Parents are teachers of their children about how to live successfully. So in your teaching role as a parent, how wisely do you teach? Church leaders, you are teachers of new Christians as to how to honor God in your life's service. So how wisely do you teach? Christian, you are actually teachers of the unsaved as to what it means to know and love God and have him know you in a personal way that leads to heaven. How wisely do you teach? I believe Christians have the potential to be the wisest teachers of all. The reason that is true is because Jesus Christ desires to live his life through you. He is all wise, and he can teach his wisdom through you. Colossians 3:16 gives two sets of instruction that couple together to bring the wisdom of Christ into the body of Christ, the church. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Within the context of our lives of teaching, this verse gives us some content to teach and a goal for our teaching and a desired outcome from our teaching and a method by which we can teach. And as we consider that teaching, it's part of our job as believers to let us consider these things. So the content is what is taught to an individual. This verse tells me that what is to be taught is the word of Christ. I believe this refers to all of Scripture and not just the sayings of Christ that we have in the New Testament. And here's why I believe that. John 1:1 tells us that Christ is the Word made flesh. John 1:1 also tells us that because Christ was pre-incarnate in his existence, he did not reveal himself only through the incarnation. Word means expression. Christ is the expression of God, and therefore all of the expression of God, including all of Scripture, can be included as the Word of Christ. So the goal of your teaching is what you have happen to the content. The content of our teaching is the Word of Christ, and the goal of our teaching, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Well, to let dwell is one word meaning to be at home or to take up residence or to settle down as a permanent dwelling place. You know, you're at home when you have freedom to do as you please in the house. In my house, I can take my shoes off if I want, put my feet up. That's a freedom that I wouldn't walk into your house and just do. Okay? It's part of being at home. The idea is that the Word of God may need to be applied at places in your life that you've not thought of applying it before. In order for that to happen, the Word of Christ needs to be at home in your life, to have freedom to explore any area of your life Do you give the word of Christ that freedom, or do you restrict the word of Christ to just being, say, in the living room of your life? The word of Christ, to really be at home, has to have the freedom to tell you, I'd like to look at your checkbook. I want to go in your closet. I want to check out all of your life. That's what it means for the word of Christ to be at home in our lives. And I'd like to look into your family album and the relationships you have with, oh, this family member and that family member. That's the word of Christ being at home in your life. If you are at home when you have freedom to make changes in the arrangements of things, can the word of Christ change things around in your life? Can it change your Sunday habits? Can it change the books on your shelf? Can it change the priority that certain things have in your life? You see, you are at home when you do not have to make pretenses to be accepted. Does God's word have to be, oh, decorated with illustrations or made into moving pictures before you will accept it? Or can you sit down and read it and be ready to spend some time with it and let it minister to you? To be at home, the word of Christ will have to be an everyday part of your life. It will need to live where you live. Richly, the idea of this word is to have abundance. The word should not only be at home in us, it should luxuriate in us. When I think of living richly, I think of having servants at my beck and call. So the word of Christ is going to luxuriate in your life. That means your life serves the word of God more than just tolerates God's word. For the word of Christ to settle down richly in your life means that it's there in abundance. You know, if a detective were to come into your life and examine it, he would be coming across the word of Christ everywhere. It would be influencing your career. It would have influence in the raising of your children, in the conversations with your spouse, in the tracks that it left in your checkbook, in the way you relate to your neighbors or handle a problem or consult with a doctor. It is abundantly clear that it is a significant part of everything you do. That's having the word of Christ richly dwell in your life. So the content of your teaching is the word of Christ, and the goal of teaching the word of Christ is so that it will dwell in your life richly. So what will be the outcome of that kind of teaching? Well, the result or byproduct of teaching the word of Christ in such a way that it'll dwell richly in your life is that you will have wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. You will have wisdom in your teaching and admonition. So what does that look like? Well, Psalm 119, 97 through 100 says this, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. They are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts." Now, this passage is talking about wisdom that's needed in the course of life. The outcome of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly is that you start to gain a reputation for wisdom. Your decision-making helps you outsmart your enemies, those who would desire to hurt you or trip you up or make you stumble. You will have insight that goes beyond the insight that your teachers have given you. What that means is that you can get answers from the Word of God without having to have a preacher or a Sunday school teacher explain it to you. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to a preacher or a Sunday school teacher when you've got a question about a passage of Scripture and say, I don't get this one. Do you have any insight on this? That's perfectly all right. But God's Holy Spirit will illuminate the Word to you and to those around you, including your teachers, will recognize that you're gaining insight into God's Word. And when it speaks of understanding more than the aged, it's telling you that you're not going to have to experience every hard thing in life that the aged went through in order to gain their understanding. There's a generation that lived through the Great Depression and World War II, and many of them are passing on. And they learned from those experiences some values. They learned the value of making things last, of self-discipline, of standing up for what is right, even though it may cost you your life. There are so many great things of wisdom that that generation came out of those experiences with. If you're teaching the Word of Christ and letting it dwell in you richly, you can learn the same lessons without having to go through those experiences. I think that's what it means to have more understanding than the aged. From generation to generation, there is a body of wisdom that is gained for each generation from their experiences. Well, how can that wisdom be gained without having to go through that experience? By trusting God's Word and studying it and believing it and teaching it. So what's the method we use to get the Word of God to dwell richly within us? Well, step one is to receive it with the idea of obeying it, knowing that it will save your soul. James 1, 21 and 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let me give a little illustration of what this is saying. Suppose you were trapped in a house that was being attacked by a hostile army, and now this super soldier Rambo comes along, and he says, I can get you out of this, but you got to do what I say. Would you listen to him? Well, in that situation, I probably would. How would you receive him? Well, you would receive him as somebody bringing good news and a way to escape, and you would do what he said to do because you realized your life was in jeopardy if you did not. And that is the way we are to receive the Word of Christ. Our soul is being attacked by the evil one all the time, who seeks our destruction. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. We receive it by getting to know it, getting to know the Word of God. Psalm 119 is a celebration of the Word of God and speaks of many ways to get it into you. So let me share a few from Psalm 119. I'm not going to read all these passages. I'll just refer to them. But verse 5 lets us know we need to obey its decrees. Obey its decrees. That parallels James 1, 21 and 22. Verse 11 tells us to hide it in our heart, to treasure it. Verse 13 tells us to recite it to others. Verse 14 tells us to rejoice in it. Verse 15 tells us to meditate on it. Take familiar passages and keep chewing on them the way a cow chews a cud. Delight in it by not neglecting it. Obey it as a matter of practice. That is, make obedience a habit. Verse 59, consider your own ways in light of God's word. Verses 65 to 72, I need to adjust my response to affliction according to God's word. And then verse 93, gain hope and strength by it. Probably every person in here has gone through troubles and trials of various times. And many of you, if I were to talk to you about those times, would tell me about, well, but this word of God kind of jumped out of my devotions this morning. And it encouraged me. And it gave me hope. And I knew that God was with me. And he would save me through this. Isn't that the truth? We have those experiences when we're walking with God. And when you really begin to get God's word, let it be at home in your life, you're going to be teaching others. And it will happen because people of wisdom are always sought for their instruction. Remember, the Queen of Sheba came hundreds of miles to listen to Solomon. It may be at home or at work or at church, but you'll be teaching. You'll be teaching. The content of your teaching will be your wisdom. In other words, the things that you have learned by seeing God's word dwell in you. And you will have learned to search out falsehood in your thinking. You will have learned to rearrange things in your life which will make it more blessed of God. You will have learned that it will live in you by discerning the right and the wrong and the fair and the unfair. And as these dilemmas come up, you'll have an idea. Oh, God's word says this. That's the side I think I should come down on this dilemma. It will give a consistency to your life that will be attractive to others. Many times we don't think about that. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica that they needed to treat the word of God in such a way that they made it attractive to others. And we can make the word of God attractive to others. And you will have answers to life's problems that work. So how will you impart that content? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Teaching, this is to give instruction relative to Christ and his word and his example to us. Admonishing, this is to plead with or exhort or rebuke and encourage to bring your life into conformity to the teaching. And Paul uses teaching and admonishing in all wisdom as his own method. Colossians 1:28. We proclaim him admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. None of us would probably say, well, God's finished working with me. I'm ready for heaven. Take me home. Right? But we would recognize, okay, God continues to work. He continues to teach me more. He continues to admonish me and say, okay, Ron, you need to correct this area in your life. Let me give a couple of examples. Romans 15, 2 and 3, I'm not going to read these. The admonition is, please your neighbor, and the teaching is, for Christ also pleased not himself. Ever have those times where you and a neighbor are having a disagreement of some kind, and you can either let it really get your goat so that you, I'm just not going to live with that neighbor anymore. No, that's not the way Jesus responded. Ephesians 5, 2, walk in love, the teaching, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. God's love is self-sacrificial. And when the Bible tells us to walk in love, that means it's going to be self-sacrificial. Why? Because that's the example that Jesus had for us. Colossians 3:13. Forgive, just as Christ has forgiven you. This is one that, boy, that's a hard one for a lot of people. But if we're going to be following Christ and following the Word of God, the admonition is we need to forgive. Forgive those who've offended us. And then it says we can do this with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The differences between these different types of hymnody is very slight, and we shouldn't read a whole lot into that. However, we should recognize the power of music to teach. How many of you cannot necessarily remember a scripture verse, but you can sing Sunday school choruses that you learned years ago? Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path always. How many know that one? Sure. Why? The music helped us learn it, and we sang it again and again, and we liked it as children. And what was it doing? It was imprinting God's word in our minds and in our hearts. There is a power in music to teach. In light of this powerful tool for memory retention, we should be careful what we feed ourselves in music, and we should take advantage of music's ability to teach by learning right things through it. Teachings about Christ and his life and his acts and his word, admonitions, calls for following after Christ and changing our lives. It is appropriate even for us to try to make songs from our own experience. And the form of the song is not so important. I'm going to tell you, even rapping is a modern medium that can do this. Let me see. Ronnie the rapper. Let's see. Kids, it's supposed to be this way, though, isn't it? Yeah, okay. So I'm Ronnie the rapper, I got a tale to tell. It'll get you to heaven and keep you from hell. I came in from playing about the age of 7, and my mom told me how to get to heaven. She read me a story about Danny Orlis, and he had a friend I didn't want to miss. All it took was faith, so I knelt right down, asked Jesus in my life, so I'll be wearing a crown. Fess up, kneel down, ask Jesus in your life, and you'll be wearing a crown. Fess up. Kneel down, take Jesus in your life, and you'll be wearing a crown. Any form can be used in music to help us. Now, that's more the kind of a song we'd hear at camp, isn't it? The use of music and rhythm to teach children is one of the most effective ways to instill biblical principles and truths into their lives. When my kids were little, we used to use Music Machine, I don't know if that's still around, and bullfrogs and butterflies. Bullfrogs and butterflies, they've both been born again. Yeah, okay. Today there's lots of good children's music to teach things. I believe that instruction given in this way will carry with it a certain buoyancy. There will be a particular grace that helps the teaching to become natural. And when that is the case, there will be an overflow of thanksgiving to God. Make the Word of God central to your living. Now, the important lesson to remember from this instruction is not the corporate lesson. That lesson flows from the personal lesson. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if you want to be a wise teacher of children, or of those you work with, or the unsaved and others in the church, make the Word of God central to all your learning and living. Love it by not neglecting it. Learn it by memorizing and meditating on it. Live it by bringing your life into obedience to it, and you'll be a wise teacher. I'll never forget an experience. My dad loved the Word of God. And Parkinson's put him out at the nursing home. And he was feeling so useless. And then one of his friends from the church got sick and was out there, and maybe they were near death. And he begged the nurses and said, "Take me down there. Let me visit with him." And my mom wheeled him down there. And all of a sudden, he started quoting, long passages of Scripture to strengthen the heart and to encourage. It was all up there. Hide God's Word in your heart. It will bring life into your body that goes beyond any other life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We know your love for us is greater than any other love we have ever known. You are ever faithful, ever true. You strengthen and encourage and bring us through all of the troubles and strains of life. We praise you for this. We praise you for giving us your word and for the sacrifices made that have brought it to everyone in written form in their own language. What a blessing. We pray your blessing upon this body. May you impart your word to each one. We thank you for Pastor Clint, who is ever faithful to make the Word of God central in every single message. In thy name we ask these things. Amen.